Good morning. It's great to see you this morning. You can turn to Matthew chapter 1 as we look at the Christmas story today. We had a reading, if you missed it before you came in, out of Luke. And just like Mark said, I would just encourage you over the next few days, if your life has been like most, it's been very busy, whether it's been getting ready for Christmas or not, maybe it's just getting all that stuff tied up before the end of the year. And maybe you have, and maybe you haven't been able to slow down and just see, what is it that God has to say to me through the birth story? And Luke, the first couple chapters of Luke, the first couple chapters of Matthew, I would encourage you just to take those and read those and say, God, what is it here that you would want me to see? And just listen to what God wants to show you. Another place that we find the birth story is in Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. It's the birth of Jesus Christ, and here we have a lot more from the perspective of Joseph. In Luke, we hear about the shepherds. In Matthew, we hear about the wise men. In Luke, we hear about Mary more. In Matthew, we hear more about Joseph. But we're going to read out of Matthew this morning, beginning in chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people, chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." And then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him." And after they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." And so he got up and took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." And when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they're no more. And after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." And so he got up and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. And so is fulfilled what was said through the prophets. He will be called a Nazarene. Well, it wasn't that long ago, about 25 years ago, that a future king was born. Listen to this announcement of Prince William's birth. Diana, Princess of Wales, has given birth to a boy 16 hours after checking into St. Mary's Hospital in London. The boy has been named William, was born at 2103 British Standard Time, weighing 7 pounds, 1.5 ounces. He is second in line to the British throne after his father, the Prince of Wales, who accompanied Princess Diana to the hospital at 5 this morning and stayed with her throughout the day. And outside the hospital, crowds had gathered to wait for the news of the birth, with some saying they would wait through the night if necessary. The flowers arrived all day long and were taken into the hospital. Thousands also gathered outside Buckingham Palace where the birth was formally announced. A British official reported that the Queen had looked absolutely delighted on hearing that the princess had gone into labor. Kind of a different story than what we just read. When we look at the birth of Jesus, Mark was just saying this earlier, and throughout the Old Testament, as God gave the law to people to help them, to guide them, but it soon became real evident that the law was not enough. The Ten Commandments were not enough, and all that was written about the Ten Commandments was not enough. In fact, what the law led people to realize was, I can't do this. I can't obey all of these rules. And so God, in His plan and His mercy, said, I'm going to send. I'm going to provide a way for people to know me, because the reality is they can't live up to this law. And so for hundreds of years, the prophets have been telling about that there's going to be a Messiah who's going to come. He's going to come and He's going to guide us. He's going to redeem us. He's going to provide life. Now, the misunderstanding for a lot of people, and even we talked about this a couple weeks ago, even in the minds of the disciples right up until Jesus' death, they thought that Jesus was going to come and He was going to set up a political kingdom, that He was going to deliver the country of Israel out from under Roman rule. But God's intention all along had been that Jesus was going to establish a spiritual kingdom, that He was going to live in the hearts and minds of people, that He would redeem us, that He would save us from our sins, save us from ourselves. And so God, in His plan, and for hundreds and hundreds of years, had talked about the fact that there was going to be one that would come after Him. And then, the last book of the Old Testament, between the last book of the Old Testament and the first book of the New Testament, is a period of 500 years where we have no writings, where it was silence, where it was quiet. And so we read and we pick up in Matthew and Luke where we have the birth of Jesus. Now, if you were planning the birth of the King of the universe, of God Himself, how would you have planned it? Well, if I were planning it, it probably would look something a little bit like Prince William's birth looked. I mean, there would be crowds and there would be applause and there would be people and there would be pomp and circumstance. There would be parades and there would be celebration. And yet God chose something completely different. It was God's choice to decide how Jesus would be born. Why did He choose that? Why did He choose a teenager? Why did He choose a humble peasant girl from a small village? Why did He choose the fact that he would be born not just under humble circumstances, but under duress? That Luke says that they went to find a place, they went to find a hotel, they went to try to get into an inn, and they couldn't even get in. And so what they went to, they went out to stay in the stable. And that Jesus, the King of Kings, God Himself, was born in a feeding trough for animals. And that the people who heard about His birth were not officials, they were not royalty, they were not people who had great wealth. But the people who heard about His birth first were shepherds, some of the lowest people of society in terms of the people who looked at them, these dirty shepherds who tended sheep. And they were the first people that God said to them, go and see the birth of this child. What does it say? Why would God choose to do all of that Because God, from the very beginning and even till today, chooses the humblest of circumstances to make Himself known. The humblest of circumstances. It was in humility. In humility. In the things that society would overlook. And as we begin to, and I encourage you at the beginning, if we begin to take out the Scripture and we begin to look at the book of Luke and we begin to look at the book of Matthew and we just take that out and we don't just depend on a preacher to give us a Christmas message or we don't depend on anybody else, but we just take out the Word of God and we read it and say, God, what is it here that You would have to teach me? And there's lots. And one of the things at the top of the list is what matters most about this story doesn't have anything to do with stuff. Doesn't have anything to do with stuff. And it has all to do with the wonder and the greatness of who God is and who He wants to be in my life and your life. What do we find in common throughout this story? Well, I want you to see something over and over and over that God does throughout this story. One thing I want you to hear is this. Is that there's a kind of a character to the birth story that kind of precedes Mary in the book of Luke. When you begin to read the book of Luke and we begin to read about the birth of Jesus, first and foremost, the first thing that we hear about is Zechariah. Now, we don't normally think of Zechariah and the birth of Jesus, but Zechariah is an important figure. And Zechariah is the father of John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus. And the very first part of Luke chapter 1, it says that God spoke to Zechariah. Now, Zechariah was a priest, and he was in the temple. And it came that it was Zechariah's turn to go into the temple and to offer incense. And so Zechariah goes into the temple to offer incense, and it says that God spoke to Zechariah. You know what he said? He said, "Your prayer has been answered. I've heard your prayer, and you're going to have a son." And he says that, and this son, whose name is going to be John, he's going to prepare the way of the Messiah. He's going to be the one who goes before Jesus, and he's going to be the one who shares the good news, and he's going to be full of the Holy Spirit, and he's going to honor God with his life. And you know what Zechariah said? How can I know that this is going to happen? And God said, because you didn't believe, you're going to be silent until John's birth. But God spoke to Zechariah. And then, right after that, we pick up with Mary. And you know what happened? God spoke. He spoke to Mary. He came to Mary and He said this. He said, first of all, He said, don't be afraid. He said the same thing to Zechariah. Don't be afraid. And when He begins to talk to her, He says this. You're going to be with child. You're going to be with child. You're going to be with child. And she says, how is this since I don't know a man? And He says, you're going to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And you're going to bear the Son of God. God spoke to Mary. And right after that, you know what He did? He spoke to Joseph. God spoke to Joseph. And Joseph and Mary were pledged to be married. And when Joseph, the Scripture says, when Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, he had it in his mind that he would divorce her quietly. And in that culture, if you were pledged to be married to each other and you separated, there was divorce. And so he had it in his mind that he would divorce her quietly. And it says that God spoke over and over and over and over and over. God speaks to Zechariah. And God speaks to Mary. And God speaks to Joseph. And what does He say? He says, Joseph, take Mary to be your wife. What's conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And so Joseph does. And he takes Mary to be his wife. And what happens next? Is that when she gets ready, when she has the baby, it says that God spoke to shepherds over again. There are shepherds abiding in the fields at night, and God spoke to them. And he said, there's a baby born in Bethlehem, and I want you to go and see him. And He spoke to them. And then it says, the Scripture says, that there were these wise men who lived in the east. And you know what God did? He spoke to them. And He said, I want you to go and take gifts and I want you to worship this new king. And so they go from the land far away and they come and they worship Jesus. And then Mary has this baby in a manger. And you know what God did? He spoke. He spoke to the world. The Scripture says, and this is kind of, it's one of those Scriptures that's kind of confusing. It says John chapter 1, you know, Luke chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 1 talks about the birth of Jesus. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." Man, that can be confusing, you know? It was always confusing for me. And sometimes I used to hear people say all the time, well, if someone becomes a new Christian, have them read John first. And like I would sit down with new Christians and we'd start reading, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was..." And I'd be like, "Let's don't read that. Let's go to Mark." Because it was kind of confusing, you know? What's "in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God"? Well, simply it's this. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, God spoke. Jesus, another name for Jesus used in the Bible, is Word. In the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was God, and Jesus was with God in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. What? In the beginning, and since the beginning, God has been speaking. And Jesus is His perfect Word. Why? Because when we want to know, "God, what kind of life do I need to live? What kind of decisions do I need to make? How should I guide my family? What kind of business decisions should I make?" And when I want to know that, God says, "Here's what I have to say." And He said it in Jesus. Jesus was the Word. Jesus was God speak. God spoke in the manger. God spoke. God wrapped Himself up and came to us in a gift in the manger. And then God spoke to Joseph. And He said, "You know what?" He said, "There's a king, and he's going to try to kill all the babies in Bethlehem that are 2 years young, 2 years old and younger. And you need to get out of here, and you need to go to Egypt." You know what? After Herod died, God spoke to Joseph. We read that just now. What did He say? "It's time for you to go back to Israel." And Joseph takes Mary and Jesus, and they leave Egypt, and they go back to Israel. And what happens when they get there? God speaks to him again, because he's about to go where Archelaus is, and he says, "No, go to Nazareth." And God speaks over and over and over. And we can keep going on and on, but we won't. We'll stop. When Jesus is 12 years old, he's in the temple and he's talking and he's listening, and people are amazed at what he's saying. And when Jesus enters public ministry for the first time, right after his birth, we pick up about his baptism. And he's baptized, he's 30 years old, he's just starting public ministry, and God does what? He speaks from heaven. And he says, "This is my Son, whom I love, and whom I'm well pleased." That's what God says. And you know what? I would care to imagine that most everyone in here, for some reason or another, somehow, some way, God is speaking to you. There's something in your life that God is saying. There's some decision that maybe you're trying to make, and you're trying to listen to God about what's the right decision. There's things that are going on with your family, and you're thinking, "Man, I want the best for my family. How do I get the best for my family?" Maybe it's the fact that you're thinking about starting a new relationship with God, or maybe you're just exploring who God is. But you feel like something's tugging you, something's pulling you to ask those questions. For some of you, you feel like I need to start over. I mean, if I could describe my life in the best way, it would be that I need to start over. And the reason that I know that I need to start over is I feel like that's what God's saying to me. And I would say to each one of you, and we have a lot of guests here today, and we'll have a lot of guests in the second service, that you didn't just come here by accident. That for whatever reason that you came here, God brought you here. And for every person here, for some reason or another, in some way, God is speaking to you. And I can't tell you what it is. I'm not one of those preachers that's going to say, God says this. He's telling you this is exactly what He's saying for you, because it's going to be different for every person in here. What I do know is that it'll be consistent with His Word. It'll be consistent with His character. But He's speaking to you. And you know what? The only way that you and I are going to know what He's saying is when we place ourselves in the humblest of circumstances. When did He speak? He spoke to shepherds. When did He speak? He spoke to a girl who was a teenager in a small village. When did He speak? He spoke out of heaven when Jesus said, "I'll be baptized." He speaks when we humble ourselves. His Word becomes alive in us. We begin to know this is what God wants. This is what pleases God. This is God's plan for my life. When what? When I say, you know what? We spend most of our lives in the pursuit of power and pleasure and security. Most of our pursuits can be summed up in those three things: power, pleasure, and security. That's what we want. It's what our flesh craves. And when you and I say, you know what? I'm going to lay down my pursuit to always be secure. I'm going to lay down my pursuit to always feel like I've got to be the one in power. And for all these hungers of pleasure, you know what? I'm going to lay those down too. And you know what that takes? That takes humility on my part. And it takes humility on your part to say, you know what? I give up. I give up. I surrender. And it's for a good purpose. You know why? Because when God begins to speak and you say, I surrender and I'm going to humble myself. And just like the song we sang a while ago, I'm going to fall on my knees. Whether it's in my heart or whether it's in my bedroom, literally. And say, God, my life is Yours and I want what You want for my life. And you know what will happen? God will speak. He'll speak. He'll speak if you want Him to. But the reality is this: He's never stopped speaking. He's never stopped speaking. There's nobody else in your life like God. You know why? Your spouse, as much as they love you, as much as they serve you, as much as they sacrifice for you, your children, as much as you love them, as much as they come around you, as much as you love Christmas time and being with family, there's nobody that loves you like Him. There's nobody that loves you unconditionally, that sees past every fault. There's nobody that pursues you like He does. He pursues you without getting tired. He loves you and He speaks and He speaks and He speaks and He speaks and He speaks. You know what? He's never stopped speaking. But if you and I will say, you know what, God? I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to stop the pursuit of what I want and listen to what You want. I want to ask you this question. What is it that God wants to say to you this season? What is it that God wants to say to you this week? What is it that God wants to say to you in the next couple of days about what He wants for your life? And you know what? That's between you and Him. What I encourage you to do is to humble yourself and allow God to do the same thing that He's done since the birth of Jesus. And that's speak to you about what He desires from your life. Let's pray together.